Blog Talk Radio. You are in the Inspiration Zone with the Angel Ladies. Join us for half an hour of sparkly conversation, uplifting ideas, and thought-provoking topics, and even some words of wisdom from the angels themselves. You never know what will happen, but it's always a fun-filled adventure. And now, here are your hosts, Deb and Jean, the Angel Ladies.
Topic is resistance today, and it seems as though Blog Talk having a bit of resistance,
wind resistance or something.
I don't know if that's if people heard that, but from our earphones, it was like
a whole lot of
wind.
Crackling going on.
A whole lot of crackling, a lot of static going on. Well, this is Deb
and Jean.
Happy
Wednesday.
We apologize; we haven't been with you for a few weeks. It has been crazy, cuckoo, busy around
Good.
Here. Yeah, it's all good, but it makes for scheduling a radio show a little interesting at this point of the year.
Yep. Kind of hard if other things going on,
but we are here.
It has been a wild and crazy and wonderful past couple of weeks.
Yes.
But we're feeling pretty good to be back on Blog Talk.
We miss our little radio show.
Absolutely. So today's topic.
Resistance.
Kind of a dirty word in spirituality, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it's a very human kind of. It's not a feeling. What is resistance? Is it an emotional?
It's the 2-year-old stomping its foot and saying, "No, I won't."
It's a reaction.
No, I won't. It's a response,
and it's an ego response. It comes. It bounces against something like a thought or a belief, or you just don't want to go there is the basic.
When we say ego, in ordinary, mundane conversation, ego is often taken very negatively to mean conceitedness.
You're full of yourself.
You're full of yourself. But when we speak of ego from the spiritual perspective, we're simply referring to the mundane physical personality. I like to call myself the little J Jean, and
mm-hmm.
then there's big J Jean, the higher self. But little J Jean is the part of me that has, it's me in this lifetime, and that's my ego. It's my perspective on the world.
Mm-hmm. Your identity.
Yes. And next, it's like a role I play with big J Jean being like an actress who takes on many roles as
mm-hmm.
I incarnate repeatedly, and little J Jean is the role for this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about resistance being an ego thing, it's not a response from our higher self, but our mundane physical self that doesn't have all the answers.
Yes.
Because if we did, of course, there would be no resistance.
And resistance teaches us something. It's there for a reason. It's there for a big reason. Often it points to a lesson. When we do our prosperity workshops or even the angel things that we do, there's usually a block. There's usually somewhere people will say, "Oh, I can't hear my angel," or, my bank account isn't getting any bigger, hello. And that's usually
me.
But if we're doing all the steps, if we're doing, taking the proper technique and doing the doing the affirmations and keeping the mindset and being open to good and feeling worthy, all of those things move together to help make the bank balance increase. It changes us. So we let go of old thoughts and old beliefs and ushers in a whole lot of good stuff. But when we feel resistance, when we feel like, "Oh, I don't think I believe that," or "I don't think I can do that," it's usually pointing to a block. And sometimes it's a measure of protection for ourselves.
It can be.
Yep.
Everyone has gone through resistance. If you've wanted to begin eating more healthfully or an exercise program, and you find yourself forgetting.
Oops, I forgot. I wasn't supposed to have that chocolate ice cream.
Too late. You know, that's resistance.
Yeah.
Or you accidentally schedule things and, oh, you can't make your gym appointment. You know, that's one form of resistance. And the thing about resistance is that there's always a way to handle it. I mean, clearly you can simply arrange not to have the chocolate ice cream in your home,
mm-hmm.
or you can arrange your schedule, you know, put your gym appointment in first in your agenda so that you know not to schedule anything there. And there's always a way to handle it. The thing about resistance is it can be very, very unconscious. It just kind of happens that way. And that's generally, I find, the most difficult to eliminate, because we don't know it when we're doing it. We only know about it after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer for that is for us to be more mindful and to examine ourselves as we're beginning on our programs of whatever it is. If we're trying to be more loving, if we're trying to be more focused on our spirituality, if we're trying to incorporate a program of regular meditation into our lives, or whatever it is that we're trying to bring in, we're going to pick up some resistance. And so if we're more mindful about our process as we're going through it, here's where a journal is such a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can note these things down, and when you bring it to your conscious attention, then you have the choice. Because remember, spirit is all about free will. It's all about free will. So bringing it to mind and where you can observe it and recognize it gives you the opportunity to choose another way.
I think it's important to be aware of those places of resistance, because they do point to a growing edge. They do, you know, and it's perfectly fine. If you want to stay resistant, it's your life and it's your experience. You don't have to move past that. Those who have faced their blocks or their obstacles or kind of worked through it find that on the other side there are so many new insights and understandings about their own life that you know they can now file away, and we got through that lesson. You know, it's a very important resistance always signals a growing edge. I think it, you know, but you know, we have free will, we have our choice. We don't, if there's something, I think of the donkey, you know, who happily walking along and then suddenly stops, and you get the picture of the person kind of trying to drag it, you know, just with all their might, and the donkey has his feet stuck in to the ground and is not going anywhere. That stubbornness. And we have all experienced those moments of that just blatant stubbornness. Sometimes we're just too tired. Sometimes we just don't want to know. Sometimes we're afraid. There's all kinds of reasons why we experience resistance. And as Jean was saying, the journal is a really valuable tool. If you're doing your, you know, spiritual walk, if you're really focusing on growing in spirituality, getting closer to and connecting to all that is, and you know, trying to work on that side of your life, then it's really important to try to. Where was that? I just had a picture in my. Oh, I know where it was. We were at a conference many, many years ago, and we were given an exercise where you pull yourself through one of your fears.
That's right.
You know, you meet resistance, and you have somebody pull you through it. And we laughed. We thought it was the most silly thing, and it worked, though. It was very effective.
It was very powerful.
Surprisingly powerful. You know, you have a partner. You think about something that you really are having a problem with. You're resisting, and that partner, on the count of three, just pulls you forward. And it's like you go through the fire, and you come out the other side. And psychologically, it was very freeing.
It was a lot of fun doing it, but it was surprising how effective it was.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of those things, like those little tiny tools, those things that you can just do very simple, bring us to a whole different place in our understanding, and that stuff's behind us, which is always a nice thing when you can look back and see another milestone on the path.
Indeed.
So resistance is part of our lives, and it's a teacher, and it's a natural part of our life. So we're not saying that we'll never, ever, ever eradicate all the resistance in
Absolutely
our life.
Absolutely not, because we never, ever get to the end of learning.
No.
One of the, I think one of the most universal forms of resistance is the idea that love is the answer. One of the most universal forms of resistance is the rejection of the concept that by bringing love to bear on situations, they will be made better, particularly when we're angry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be loving because we're angry, and that's where the stomping foot, two-year-old stubbornness comes in.
I don't want to.
That person was really mean.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we have we justify that, don't we?
We sure do.
And that's a very human response. And so it's perfectly valid and understandable. But, you know, law of attraction tells us that if you're going to indulge yourself in that choice, then you're going to bring in energies that match. So you have a lot more to stomp your foot about as you continue on your path.
That's true.
Resistance, it has something to teach us, but it teaches us by, I don't want to say trial and error, but cause-effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the one who is, you know, unconsciously making appointments so that they never make their appointment with the trainer is going to find that they get, you know, less and less in shape. You know, resistance is really, really important to recognize so that you don't have to go through the lesson that it teaches. And this is very much law of attraction, which itself requires a lot of resistance, the idea that whatever we have in our life, we have called in. It's not appealing to people because there's a lot that we want to change.
Exactly.
We didn't call in being alone. We didn't call in being in an auto accident. We didn't call in, you know, hurting ourselves in some, you know, injuring ourselves. We didn't call in being broke or having lost our job. We didn't call those things in. But law of attraction says that those things come into our life in the response to an invitation. And that invitation may be, you know, just being unforgiving towards someone who has hurt you.
Yeah.
And hanging on to that. Well, that opens the door for something else that you have, you know, some other injury to be done to you. It may be that you resent people who have more, look better, whatever. Well, that's going to come back to bite you.
Yeah. Yeah, resistance is a teacher.
And so whatever it is, that annoys you, take a good hard look at that. Because if you give in to the annoyance, as opposed to going a more spiritual and loving route, it's going to have an impact. The other thing that resistance does, in addition to, you know, all this stuff, is that it blinds us.
Mm-hmm.
It not only teaches us a lesson through unhappy means, it also blinds us to the good that's present to us, so that if we are being resistant to the idea, say, that we called into our lives the things that we are trying to get rid of,
mm-hmm.
if we're resisting that lesson, then we lose the opportunity to make new choices. You know, all the time we spend resisting and saying, it's not my fault, it's not my fault, it's just dumb luck or whatever. That's time that we could have spent using powerful techniques to create a happier life. Excuse me. To create a happier life, happier energy, and then better, greater good coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And by happier life, I mean happier moments. The time that we spend resisting, that those moments are unhappy.
All our focus goes there.
That's right. And so being in the state of resistance is a very unpleasant place to be. It is uncomfortable. It is not satisfying. It's just nasty. It's a hard place.
It's a hard place. I know that resistance shows itself in many arenas in our life. And recently, I think was the last show we did, it seemed like we attracted many callers who were very resistant to whatever the angels had to say. And quite evident from this side of the telephone that nothing Jean said was going to satisfy either one of the people that called in. And it goes like that sometimes.
They were rather insulting.
They were very insulting. They basically called you a fraud at one point. I'm like, let me get through the phone and show some stuff.
But the thing of it is, when you're in that position, it's the position of not being willing to be satisfied.
Oh, yeah, nothing was satisfied.
But I mean, that's a very unhappy place to be. Because when you find yourself there, what is it? I'm thinking of the Four of Cups, is it? Where the young man is sitting with his arms folded, and there are the cups in front of him, and he's just.
Is that the five? Isn't the Four of Cups with the guy on the rest after labor? Or is that
swords?
That's swords. I don't do tarot. Whatever
but
you say, genius.
The idea is. Here is what you have.
Oh, yeah, they're floating
in
the clouds in front of
one,
them. Yeah.
You know, here he is, and you've got these three wonderful cups, and you're ticked off because you don't have maybe the one you want. It's not a happy place to be.
No.
It's not a happy place to be. And, you know, this is always, when people come for a reading, the angels are always very gracious, but that does not mean they will tell you what you want to hear. And they do not project. I don't know how many times I have to tell people this.
Mm-hmm.
Angels do not predict. Angel readings are not fortune telling.
Mm-hmm.
They do not predict. And yet you always have somebody who blithely ignores that and wants to know the name, the date, the place, the account number, the date of deposit, and when their money's coming in and how much it's going to be. You know, I mean, you always get these people, and that's, you know, what happened. Those two women wanted something that they were not going to get from me.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, you need a fortune teller. And I'll bet you anything, they've been to lots of fortune tellers who gave them fantastic readings that never came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens a lot. That happens a lot. I did a reading yesterday with a young woman. And she was calling, and bless her heart, she was a little hesitant. So we did a little short reading with her. But as she said, she'd been to several readings. She had readings, mm-hmm. and nothing had worked out as they had told her it would. Well, I have to tell you, after we've done the book and had all those readings and all those predictions from literally dozens of psychics,
mm-hmm.
not a
and
single...
And some really accredited psychics, like hoop-de-doo psychics.
Oh, yeah, we've written books, and we've done this, and we've done that, and we're really big, and we're 99% accurate, and guess what? You were 100% inaccurate, you know, with us. And I don't think that's because they're not good psychics. I think they're just offering the wrong thing. They're presenting the wrong thing. You know?
But people want to know. We want to see the end of the book. We do want names. We want places. We don't want to do any of the work ourselves. And that's a form of resistance right now, right there.
Oh, and I'm the leader of the pack on that one.
You know, that's a real... We don't want to live our life. We want to give away our power and let somebody else
direct it. I want a fairy
godmother. Yeah, exactly.
This is what I want, fairy godmother.
Darn you, Cinderella. You have made us a nation of...
You're not going to make that dress, Cinderella. I'm going to make that dress for you. And I've got the birds to do the fancy work, you know? And that's called a fairy tale for a reason.
Yes.
Because it will not happen that way.
The good news about living is that we get to make choices. And we can choose to let people tell us what to do or, you know, paint us a pretty picture. But we have everything we need inside of us to
and
do
that's
just
the,
that.
That's the origin of good news and bad news.
Yeah.
You know, with regard, though, I do want to say with regard to our friends who gave us from the bottom of their heart.
Oh.
And with the greatest sincerity
totally
and
willing.
Lovingness, absolutely zero correct predictions. I was talking about that to a friend of mine who is not a psychic. And she laughed and said, well, you know, you always have to say that it's entertainment, don't you?
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, you know, for legal reasons.
And we were entertained.
And that's exactly what she said. Wasn't it fun? That's what you paid your money for. You had fun. I thought, okay. Well, that's a viewpoint. That's certainly a viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what percentage of me is in agreement with that. Especially since some of those people that we were talking to were giving readings that were like, you know, several hundreds of dollars. You know, I mean, one of them was $100 for a half hour, you know, $300 for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, costly readings.
Yes.
And then promoting themselves as having predictions that are so accurate, and then none of them came true.
Not so much for us. Yeah.
That's not my kind of entertainment.
No.
After, you know, but again, it's a perspective. Excuse me, I'm going to cough.
Gina's coming down with a cold. Or something. It's that kind of time of the year here.
Well, everything is in bloom.
Yeah.
Jean has wild allergies, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is that. And I guess I've called it to myself. Oh, I wanted to say something about that, too. There is the law of attraction I'm not going to discount. And I do believe that the things that happen to us come to us, you know, through our invitation or permission. Because remember, we do come into our lifetime with specific karmic goals that are going to be addressed. So that if I have had, and mind you, I'm no expert on karma, but let's say that I murdered, you know, somebody in a former life, and now we're together again in this life, well, they're probably going to hurt me in some way simply to address the balance. Or it may be that I will have the ability, the opportunity then to forgive them and not choose the violent response of my former life. When things like that happen, it may not be the choice of my ego personality, but it is the choice of my, you know, capital J gene to undergo certain experiences in our lives in order that we may learn karmic lessons, in order that we may grow spiritually. We want to be careful about that. Sometimes we undergo lessons or struggles in this life to give other people the opportunity to choose another way. And that, for example, okay, children, people in 9/11, do you remember
mm-hmm.
the message we got for that? That those people were all there through a previous agreement that they had made, that they were coming, and this was for the good of the world to help us choose more light. And so by undergoing such a, almost like martyrs, practically, you know, and not just those people, but people in wars and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
God bless the poor souls at Auschwitz, what a horror they underwent, But as a result of that, how much good has been done, how much light has been shown on cruelty wherever it pops up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Never again. We will not stand idly by. Not in the heart of everyone, but in the heart of those who are able to look at the lesson and derive good from it and bring good to bear on it.
Yeah.
You know, this, people who are in great need, poverty, you know, civilizations like that, where they famine is rampant, they give us the opportunity to be generous. There's a balance there.
Mm-hmm.
We are called by love to be generous. We've got to find someone to be generous to.
Yeah.
So there's a balance there. And while I'm not claiming to understand it, I am given to understand that those souls have elected before incarnation to be where they are so that love may be served and good may be accomplished.
Yes.
So law of attraction, yes. But, you know, to accept responsibility for consciously creating situations isn't really necessary to work the law of attraction. We know it's a point of resistance for many, many people, and we understand it. And, you know, like I say, I'm at the head of that line.
We deal with it every day.
But how it came into your life is unimportant. Dealing with it in a loving, affirming, joyful way is the way to handle that. So that even when someone comes into your life and they're being a pig to you, you have the opportunity to say to that person, you know, mentally, spiritually, you know, not necessarily in words, you're being a pig. I forgive you for being a pig. I trust that at this point in your life, using the highest and the best that you've got available to you, your only choice is to be a pig. Therefore, I bless you to your good pig that you are.
To your pig pen.
I bless you to your pig pen. And we, you know, and I bless us both to our, I bless you both to our good. I bless you both to our good.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. And it's a more loving, generous way to deal with people. And to yourself as well, when you realize, oh, darn, I had an appointment with my trainer, and I went to the chocolate shop. Golly. Well, you know, forgive yourself. You had your chocolate. You enjoyed it. Now resolve to do something better. Forgive yourself for it and make a nice big note, trainer,
tomorrow.
In your agenda. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've got some people here.
Yes, sure do. I see that El Fairy is wanting to know, a message from the angels regarding her love life.
Love life.
And the first thing I'm going to tell you, the angels have said, and they say this all the time, if all you want is a partner, that's easy. You just have to set your standard down low enough. Anybody can get a partner. That's the first thing. So it's not just that you want someone in your life, and I know that's not what you're saying, but the idea is not that you want someone in your life, but that you want a blessed relationship where each of you are giving and receiving in a loving contest, trying to do more for the other, and your partner trying to do more than that for you. And you say, oh, well, I can top you on that. And so it's this loving one-upmanship that goes on back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, where maybe not in words, but in spirit, I love you more. No, I love you more. No, I love you more. And the way to get that kind of relationship is, first of all, to love yourself enough to settle for nothing else. I'm sorry to tell you that because, you know, it's a big, wide world, and you don't want to be alone, and we understand that. But being alone is preferable for many of us than being in a relationship where you have to walk on eggshells, where you have to satisfy the other partner, where the other partner is cutting you off from your family, your friends, you know, and you know, being demanding or even abusive.
Little Fairy is saying, yes, she's looking for a life partner.
That's exactly what you want. So the first thing you have to do is start loving yourself. I pulled the card for you. And the part that came up is called fulfillment. It's the Nine of Cups. It's a beautiful, joyful card, which bodes very well for you in finding love. More importantly, I think, is the head of this card, which is fulfillment. You must be, okay. They're showing me, you've seen perhaps on TV where people turn their back to the camera, and then they cross their arms around, and they put their hands in their hair, and they put their hand in the back. And so it looks as if someone is caressing them, but really it's just the actor who's, I guess, got double-jointed or whatever that allows them to do this, right? And this is the image they're giving me. And this is you loving yourself, El Fairy. This is you loving everything about yourself. Criticism must stop. Criticism must end. You're not doing anything wrong. You just have to shine brighter. And you polish that lamp that you are by loving it, by loving your body, by loving your mind, by loving who and what you are, doing what it is you want to do. See, because this card, remember, is fulfillment. So I'm glad that you're using the law of attraction because that's really good. Remember that the more you love yourself, the more you send out that vibration. Look at me. Appreciate me. You see what I'm saying? Loving yourself becomes kind of like a spiritual ad. It becomes your spiritual neon sign in front of your business, right? You've seen them on the roadside blinking with the arrow. Look here, look here. Well, when you love yourself, it has the same function energetically. You've seen people who are just kind of you know, not that great at what they do, but boy, everybody is clapping and applauding wherever they go, right? Because they think that they're so great at what they do. And they love what they do so much that it highlights the work, takes on that sheen. When you do the same thing for yourself, you love yourself so much. You're so grateful for the gift that you are. Because remember, you are the very best gift that a creator has given you because you get no other gift except through yourself. When you love that gift that much, then you're polishing your lamp. You're shining brightly. You're satisfied and happy with or without a partner now, you see. And that's bingo when you get your partner.
And she's saying that she's doing that. She's focusing, and she loves herself. Can I make a
sure?
Something just came to me as you were talking.
I just talked to you too.
Well, kind of. Sometimes. That. Oh, now I lost it. Bring it back. Fullness of time.
Yes.
In our time, we can be. There's so many things that are just outside our grasp, and we want them, we want them, we want them, and it always seems like not yet, not yet, not yet. But when everything comes together, when you hit that tipping point of loving yourself, just as Jean has been saying, that other person who's perfect for you, who's right for you, who will, you know, help you in your life as a soulmate or as a life partner, is also working
mm-hmm.
on those things too. So when they're ready, when, you know, everything's going to collide in time, and send it to your angels. Tell them to go and tap on that person's shoulder and tell them to hurry up. But, you know, when everything's right and everything's ready, it's going to all come together for you. And that's the waiting is the hard part. But knowing it will happen is critical. It hasn't happened yet.
As you're saying this, it's coming to me also to remind you to bring your angels along your search for love. We have a prayer. You know, we have a direction that we give our angels with caution. If this is the door, open it. If this is not the door, close it hard. And they'll do it. And when you're looking for love, when you're feeling that you're ready for a partner and you want one, it's very difficult to wait, and that makes you vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you more willing to settle because you want it so badly.
Mm-hmm.
You're hoping, right? So when you're on, you know, when you're kind of like out there, bring your angel with you and tell your angel, if the person is appropriate for me, if this is going to be a mutually satisfying, mutually loving and joyful relationship, then bring it on. But if this is not the right relationship, if this would not be a happy, joyful, loving, blessed relationship, then just make me invisible to those people. It may take you a little bit longer, but the results will be worth it. And I understand when you, as you move through life and you see everyone else is married or everyone else is with a partner or whatnot, and you're feeling alone and lonely, that's hard. But remember, a lot of the people that you're looking at, their relationships may not be quite as joyful as they seem. I'm thinking of one who is married and presents the best face to the world about the most wonderful relationship and how wonderful hubby is and all this kind of thing. And yet, we who know her realize that that is so far from the truth. You know, and it's the way she gets through the day. It's the way she gets through the day with her marriage, by putting him on a pedestal and putting herself down allows her to remain in a relationship that everyone around her can tell is not an affirming relationship for her at all. And so as you see others who are in a relationship, recognize that what you see is not necessarily what is actually happening, the way it actually is. But have faith and have hope and keep loving yourself. Keep loving yourself. Create for yourself, like the woman in, I think, Asia who married herself. You know, have a relationship with yourself. Take yourself out to the movies, to dine, to, you know, to wherever it is that you would do with a couple, with a partner. Do for yourself, with yourself. Enjoy fully. Enjoy it. Treat yourself well. And pay attention to fulfillment. What can you bring into your life that is fulfilling, apart from love? If you've thought off and on through your life, I'd like to work with animals. well, then get over to the Humane Society and volunteer to you know, pet and love up and keep those animals social. You can you know, do that. You know, if what you've thought off and on is, I'd really like to be a photographer, then take out your camera on a Saturday morning and get some shots of dew on roses or whatever it is that appeals to you. Find what is fulfilling for you and bring it into your life as a hobby, as a pastime, as a treat, whatever. Bring it into your life because it will help to keep your spirits high and happy because you'll be satisfying a very deep need of yours, you see. And so as you continue doing that, then your life gets happier, you feel better, you feel less alone and lonely, you may open yourself to meeting new people, and in a context which is not the hardcore dating scene where everybody's, you know, guzzling alcohol or who knows what, possibly not even a safe situation, then as you begin satisfying those deeper needs of the spirit, you know, for creative expression or whatever it is that's inside, you open yourself up to new energies and new acquaintances and new people. And don't forget, tell people that you would like to find a relationship. Tell old people. This is my best tip of all. Tell old people.
Tell the grandmas.
Tell the grandmas. Because I promise you, everybody knows a fine young man, fine young woman who's sitting alone at home because they don't want to do the bar scene. They don't feel, you know, they feel like the clubbing scene is not for them, or they don't like what they're finding out there. You know, so let the older people in your life, coworkers and whatnot, you know that you wish you could find somebody, and just leave it. Leave it with them. Don't even make it a big thing. Just say, well, you're going home this weekend, and gosh, it would be nice if you had a date, but well, have a good weekend, and off you go. Smiling and happy, and, you know, it's just a little blip that you, a little bug that you put in their ear, and then you leave it. Because those people, they know folks who are alone and lonely. They know people who are good, who are alone and lonely, who are fine partners, and they don't want them to get with just any, you know, Tom, Dick, or Harry from the club scene because they love them. You know, so that's one of my best tips. At any rate, I know that we've gone over a little bit, but
and the other lady had to go to work.
Lady had to go to work. Sorry about that. Next week, maybe Precious 11 will come back and get in. We'll do her first.
Well, thank you, everyone. Do visit our website, theangelladies.com. We don't have any upcoming workshops to promote at the moment, but we'll be getting something together for September again.
Yes, indeed. So, everyone, we hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place,
same channel.
Bye.
Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us today on our program. If you'd like to learn more about the Angel Ladies and the products and services we offer, just visit our website at theangelladies.com. You'll find a link to subscribe to our mailing list and an invitation to join us on our Facebook page. Until next time, may you walk with angels and may you be blessed.